Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Well, we'll make a little ground here. I kind of drug through some of the verses here in the last few studies, so we'll cover a bigger chunk now. All of these verses here will basically have to do with the topic, the wall of separation, or the wall of partition, I guess we should call it, the wall of partition. Ephesians chapter 2, let's begin reading with verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the, here it is, middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So that's a lot of scripture there, but all of this has to do with one basic thing. And the basic thing is there is a wall of partition that existed between Jews and Gentiles because of the law. And with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that wall of partition was broken down for every man who was in Christ. Gentiles and Jews come together in Christ with no distinction. They are now the church of God. Let's look at some verses of Scripture to show this commonness of Jews and Gentiles once they get saved and come into Christ. Look, for instance, in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 at verse 16. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now watch it. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So notice then, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which Paul was not ashamed, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. See, there's no wall of partition there. It works for the Jew and it works for the Greek. All right, look again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 13 and notice this. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now notice, when a person gets saved, they are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And there are not two bodies. There is only one body. And in that body, there are both Jews and Gentiles. No distinction, no wall of partition. Look again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and look at verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. All right? Before a person gets saved, they are either a Jew or a Gentile. But after they get saved, they are no longer a Jew nor a Gentile. They are now the church of God. So there are three distinctions of people. Jews, Gentiles, and then those that are saved who are in the church of God. But in the church of God, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Look again at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 at verses 27 and 28. Now, we're just dealing with this thoroughly because we want you to see that before the cross of Calvary, there are Jews, and they are under certain covenants that we'll look at in a minute. And consequently, they are given salvation if they fulfill certain terms of the covenant and also are beneficiaries of the mercy of God. But once you get to the New Testament and you have the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're no longer able to get saved by keeping the law, or there's no mercy extended to somebody in that covenant of Abraham or Moses or David. Mercy is extended to those who are in Christ. And that's good for the Jews and that's good for the Gentiles. So anybody who thinks they can get to heaven by their religious practice apart from the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament is sadly mistaken. They remain either a Jew or a Gentile, and consequently they don't get to heaven. Now, following the rapture of the church, God begins to deal with the nation of Israel again under those covenants of Abraham, Moses, and David. And consequently, salvation not only includes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but also includes certain of the covenants, or certain of the terms of the covenants that were given to those, like the land grant to the Jews, like Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of David, and like the law. Revelation chapter 12, for instance, we read that salvation is extended to those who have faith in Jesus and keep the commandments of God. Both of those things. That's not the way it is right now, but that's the way it will be during the tribulation. And then those things will go out into the millennial reign of Christ, where God will make a distinction between Jews and Gentiles. But not during the church age, not for those that are in Christ. Now, understand, nobody could be in Christ before Christ's resurrection, and nobody can be put into Christ after the body is removed by the rapture. So this is a unique thing that is in the Pauline epistles that deals with the time period that we are living in now, from the ascension resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ until the rapture of the church. All right, so in Galatians chapter 3, look at verses 27 and 28. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's something the Holy Spirit does, puts you into Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. So the wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles is gone in the church age during this period of time, that you and I, by faith, can trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. As a matter of fact, there was a great big council down in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15 to discuss the differences between the Jews and the Gentiles. Peter spoke at that convention, and he says in verse 9 of Acts chapter 15 that God put no difference between us, the Jews, and them, the Gentiles, purifying their hearts by faith. Do you see that? Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we, the Jews, shall be saved, even as they, the Gentiles. No difference, he says in verse 9. The wall of partition is abolished in Christ. Now if you're not in Christ, the wall of partition remains. However, it still doesn't have any effect on a Jew that will not trust Christ, and it doesn't have any effect on a Gentile that won't trust Christ. Both of those, though there be a wall or partition, both of those find themselves in hell without Christ. Now, as Paul said in Romans chapter 2, verses 27 and 29, it does a Jew no good to practice and circumcise himself if he is not saved inwardly. He speaks in Romans chapter 2, verses 27 and 29 about an inward Jew, a Jew that is one inwardly, and circumcision that is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. Now that circumcision is called spiritual circumcision. It is an operation of God made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You'll read about that in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 11, it is a spiritual circumcision that accompanies a man being put into Christ by the Holy Spirit. All right, Consequently, when you are in Christ, the wall of partition is down. That thing that separated Gentiles from Jews and the covenants that God had promised them is gone. Now, notice some things about Gentiles. Before Gentiles, that is, I'm a Gentile, or was, notice something about me, so something about you if you're a Gentile, that took place before your salvation if you've been saved. All right, in verse 11, notice this. Wherefore remember that being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision. Uncircumcision. So a Gentile, before he got into Christ, abided in a particular religious doctrine, probably with false gods and other things, where circumcision had nothing to do with his salvation. The only thing that he had to guide him, since he was not under the law like a Jew was, the thing that he had to guide him was his conscience. Look in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law, written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So a Gentile before salvation only has his conscience to guide him. He doesn't go by the religious code of the Jews. And if he's circumcised, it may have been done for medical reasons, but it was not done for religious reasons, like a Jew, unless he's a Muslim who claim that the circumcision of Ishmael guarantees them a right to the land that the Jews inhabit. All right, Gentiles were uncircumcision. Notice also that Gentiles before salvation were without Christ. All right, look at verse 12, that at the time you were without Christ. All right, and the reason is that Christ fulfills the promise of a seed to Abraham. We studied this when we studied Galatians a few weeks ago, but look at Galatians chapter 3 at verse 16. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is whom? To thy seed, which is Christ. The seed which is Christ. So unless somebody was under the covenant promise of Abraham, he was without Christ because he could not come into the promise. Remember, Jesus Christ told the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he said, salvation is of the Jews. So apart from that, we had no hope of any salvation. We were uncircumcision. We were without Christ. Notice also, we were aliens. Aliens. Now, that's not like E.T. Call home. E.T., call home. It's not that kind of deal. Aliens, like sci-fi, like down at the movie theater. Aliens in the sense of illegal aliens, in the sense of people who are foreigners that come in illegally to a country. An alien, then, is somebody who is a foreigner, somebody who is outside of the particular nation and the laws of that nation and all those other kind of things. He says here in Deuteronomy 14, verse 21, you shall not eat of anything that dieth of itself. Thou shalt give it unto the stranger that is in thy gates, that he may eat it, or thou mayest sell it unto an alien. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. So an alien is a stranger, is somebody that is not in the nation. See, an outsider, a foreigner. Also, Gentiles were not only uncircumcised without Christ and aliens, but we, before we were in Christ, were strangers from the covenants. Strangers from the covenants of promise, down there in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 2. Now, those covenants of promise are the covenants that were made with Abraham and Moses and David. Under Abraham, there was the promise of a multiplied seed, and there was promise of a land grant. That land grant eventually going from the Nile River all the way to the Euphrates River and covering everything in between. Basically, all of Palestine, part of the northern part of Saudi Arabia, part of Syria, part of Lebanon, all of Jordan, and then a little bit of that other stuff that's over there on the Persian Gulf. Strangers from the covenant of the land grant and the inheritance that was guaranteed to Abraham. Strangers from the covenants of promise to Moses. that were given by the law, and strangers from the covenants of promise to David that were basically guaranteed Jesus Christ would take the throne and rule the world. We were strangers from those covenants. We had no way of coming into those covenants unless we proselyted and became Jews. All right, furthermore, we were having no hope in verse 12. We had no hope. Now we have hope in Christ, who is our blessed hope, according to Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Titus 2:13 said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We had no way of calling God our God and Jesus Christ our Savior. We had no way of doing that. That's something that was reserved to those that were under the covenants of promise. Jesus, for instance, told his disciples to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. A Gentile without Christ can't pray that. Now, when you get saved and you're put into Christ, then you can say with the Jews, Abba, Father. Then you become joint heirs with Christ, but not before that. You have no hope. And without God in the world, according to Ephesians 2:12. Well, what did we have? We had false gods. I grew up in a religion that had many false gods. It was the Catholic religion. And in that religion, we prayed to Mary. We prayed to St. Blaise. We prayed to St. Christopher. We prayed to St. Jude and to other saints. Let me tell you something. Mary certainly is one of the greatest women that ever touched foot on the face of this earth. However, she was never in a position of intercession. She was never in a position of answering prayers, and she isn't right now. The doctrine of Immaculate Conception, where she was born sinless and remained sinless, is wrong. Leviticus chapter 12 shows you that, absolutely. She offered two turtle doves when she presented Christ, and those were not for his sin, obviously. They were for her sins, according to Leviticus chapter 12. And if she offered those for her sins and her cleansing, then she did not have an Immaculate Conception. That doctrine is contrary to the Bible. Furthermore, she is reputed as to have been assumed into heaven bodily. That's not possible. The rapture has not taken place yet. Bodily, she has not ascended into heaven. Only the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven. Even Paul, who got to take some time up there during his life, has not been assumed into heaven. That will all happen at the time of the rapture. No way in the world she could answer prayers. The people that intercede for us are the Holy Spirit, according to Romans chapter 8, and Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 7. So that made the Mary that people are worshiping today a false god, like the Queen of Heaven of Jeremiah chapter 44. Now, I realize that you didn't do that, even though you might be praying to her or might have prayed to her. You didn't do that. That's just the religion that basically put tradition on equal footing with the Scripture. That's a mistake. St. Jude, he can't answer any prayers. St. Blaise, he can't answer any prayers. St. Christopher, he can't answer any prayers. St. Joseph, he can't answer any prayers. That's not possible. You approach the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what Christ said in John chapter 16 and many other places. You ask the Father in Jesus' name, that's how you get the prayer answered. To come in another way is to offer strange fire before the Lord. Incense is a type of prayer, and Nadab and Abihu offered strange incense, I believe it was, in Leviticus. And when they did, they were burned right there on the spot because they did something that was contrary. That was in Leviticus chapter 10. They did something that was contrary to the way that God said to come in. Don't go in that way. You're without God in the world if you do that. Those are false gods. They can't do anything for you. You go to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only way you go in. Now, that's the condition of a Gentile before salvation. Let me review it with you again. Uncircumcised, though you just can follow your conscience, without Christ, aliens, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Your case as a Gentile before salvation is sunk. But now, verse 13 says, and thank God for those two words, but now we have a contrast, and now, I don't have to wait, I've got it now, but now, in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ. I was put into Christ by the Holy Spirit when I trusted him as my Savior. How about you? Are you in Christ? You say, well, I don't know. Well, you should know. You say, well, how do I know? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. John 5:12. I just quoted it to you very slowly. You have Christ if you have come to the Lord with a repentant heart, repenting of your own righteousness. You take up the righteousness that is available to you by Christ Jesus and receive Jesus Christ the best way you know how. Christ enters your body. Christ enters your soul. You are baptized by the Holy Spirit then into Christ Jesus. And when you do that, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So what happened to you when you got into Christ according to this text? Ephesians 2:13, you were made nigh who were once far off. Far off in the sense that the covenants of promise were absolutely and totally unavailable to us. Far off in the sense that we had no access to the Father whatsoever. Far off in the sense that our destiny was hell. But once we got saved, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We were adopted into the family. We cry, Abba, Father, and we become joint heirs with Christ, according to Romans chapter 8, verses 15 to 17. So now we're made nigh. I have access to the Father. I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't say that to brag or be boastful. I brag on Jesus Christ. He said if I would trust him, he would take care of that, and I'm trusting him to do so. Not only were we made nigh when once we were far off, but also we have peace, according to verse 14. We have peace. And that peace is a peace that we have right now. The Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. But let me tell you something. My nature changed when I trusted Christ. And I still have a sinful nature, but God changed my soul. And the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God and I are at peace right now, and so are you and God if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And not only do we have peace, but also we are made one. That is, we are in Christ. A Jew that trusts Christ is in Christ, and so we are one, and therefore in one body, the middle wall of partition broken down between us. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 and notice verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace that's available to us by Christ. Verse 4, there is one body. So there's not a body for the Gentiles and a body for the Jews. If you trust Christ, the Jew gets put into Christ and gets put into that body. I trust Christ, I get put into that body as a Gentile. Now we are one, and neither one of us comes with our national distinction anymore. We are the church of God. So therefore, according to verse 15, the enmity between us is abolished. The enmity between us, the enmity means we were enemies, is abolished. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now, the way the ordinances were abolished and no longer have an effect on us is found in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. You may be listening right now saying, man, you have sure covered a lot of scripture. How in the world am I going to get all this down? Well, if this is important to you and you're getting a benefit out of this study and you need to get these verses down again, you've got two ways you can do it. At the end of the broadcast, I'm going to give you our internet address, which is www.unknownbible.com. And next week, you can click on that and you'll hear this broadcast again for the next 2 weeks. And you can play it back again and again until you get all the verses down. Or maybe you'd like to have a cassette tape of this so you can get all of it down in your own study. And if you want that, you can call us at the end of the broadcast. We'll give our number. It's 361-241-6100. I'll give it to you again at the end of the broadcast, 361-241-6100. And you can call us, and we've got a tape of this broadcast. We'll send it to you, and it'll help you out. Okay, so the way we know that the enmity was abolished is by Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, they're the Gentiles, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out what? The handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. See the enmity? They were against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So it's gone now. Took it out of the way. The enmity is abolished. One new man, so making peace. Not only that, look at verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So we're reconciled. What does reconciled mean? Reconcile basically means that the differences are no longer differences. We're no longer separated by my opinion and your opinion, my background and your background. We are reconciled to God, which means that there is nothing separating us from him anymore. We are at peace with each other. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So I'm telling you that you can be reconciled to God. He no longer be his enemy. He'll no longer be your enemy if you'll come to Christ. And then notice, verse 17, "Came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. Christ presented his gospel both to the Gentiles and to the Jews." Verse 18, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." So I have access by the Spirit unto the Father, and so do you. And that's because we are children of God and led of the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8:14. And the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, according to Romans 8:26. So I have access by the Spirit to God. Well, what happens then? Verse 19, "That makes me fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Verse 20, "That means that I am built upon a foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone." And verse 21, "All the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord." Verse 22, "In whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." All right, the foundation then is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So if you're not on the foundation of Jesus Christ, then no matter what your religious background is, you have no hope of being in the household of God, where Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And if you are in Christ, then he is building up one house. And that one house is the church of God. Like 1 Timothy 3:15 says, you are the house of God. 1 Timothy 3:15, let's get this verse quickly and end with this. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." It's not your church building. It's this building built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So that's what happened when Christ came and broke down that wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles and made us joint heirs and fellow citizens with them.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.